Jane, what's happening?
I'm moving house. I've exchanged today
on
my house in Twickenham.
Congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, so it's happened
today. Let me give you a hug.
So I'm moving to Brighton full time.
Scary Esther.
Well,
hello, dog.
This is my new dog, Lenny.
Yeah.
Lenny, he likes to jump up.
Oh, I don't want him jumping up.
Oh, no, don't jump up.
No, don't jump up.
That's it.
I'm too fragile for jumping up.
Yeah, but he likes to give you a little sniff on the face.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Oh, no, you don't want that. All right, then. Go on, then, Len. Let's push him out of the way.
No, I don't want licking on faces. Thank you. Long hot days in the shade of some big old tree. Making daisy chains and watching all the honeybees. So I've got some various things.
Wow.
Esther, you have two sets of bedding. Now, I hope that they are king size.
Ooh.
And I've got you some mugs because you said that, you know, you had that guy that came round to fix things for you and he was always breaking your mugs.
Oh, that's right, the hedge cutter.
So you've got some spare mugs that he can break if
to. Oh, well, actually, my hedge has been cut by the next door neighbour, so he won't be able to break any of those mugs, sadly.
Le Creuset,
great, yeah.
I think there's some things inside the Le Creuset, yeah. So, because I've been clearing my house responsibly and it's exhausting to do it responsibly, but I feel proud that I've done it responsibly. But I'm the dog's making a noise.
Lenny likes and he's chewing the carpet.
Like the new one, Jane. They've got the carpets in that bag.
No, I don't. Anyway, so I'm recycling all this. It feels really nice actually to give these things to friends, and so that when I come to your house, I might be able to see them.
Yeah,
which is actually rather nice to see it in other people's houses.
Aww,
and sweet. I've been reducing my house it down to a two-bedroom flat, so I've had to get rid of a lot.
That's amazing, Jane. You've done so well.
Have I got bags under my eyes?
No, you look good. And your hair looks so nice.
Well, I washed it.
So, Jane, I know there was something that you were going to give me for my new studio shed.
Look, there's a cuckoo clock.
Ooh.
Cuckoo clock.
Ooh, cuckoo.
You'll have to glue that because I did glue it and now it's come away again. And I have also got you a lovely lamp for your shed.
Great.
And it's a Tiffany lamp.
Ooh, nice.
Mm.
So, we could take the bag up to the shed and then I can show you because I've got this great new plant wall.
Do you want to take all these things up then?
Yeah, take
them. Some tea lights as well.
Yeah, let's take them up.
We need some glue to glue the cuckoo. Isn't it lovely, the shed?
I know, look at the plant wall.
Oh, it's so gorgeous, Essie.
So nice, isn't it?
Oh, it's so pretty. It's gorgeous, Essie. How clever of Tom to have made this.
It's not quite finished, but we'll come inside and then we can put these things on the desk.
Step inside, love. Well, you do have a chair.
Yeah.
It's like a little doll's house, I see. And I love those curtains. Aren't they pretty?
Yeah.
What are the butterflies?
They're old curtains from my first place, and then my mum, she extended them when they were to move to the next place. She put on those borders to make them a bit longer.
She clever.
Yeah,
that was
good.
Clever. I love that little chair.
Yeah, that was my mum. She paper mashed that to bring it back to life.
She's clever, isn't she, mum?
Yeah.
And I like crocheting as well.
Yeah, so, you know, another thing, upcycling. She was into upcycling.
And I love that throw with the birds.
Oh, that's nice. But, so this is my little office.
Oh, so nice, Essie. You've got a walking stick. Or a hook. What do you call that? A crook?
It's a crook.
It's a little bit tall for me.
Actually, it's the sort of thing your character would have had in Rumpelstiltskin.
Now, that is so lovely, Essie. And this beautiful hat, what's this from?
That was when I was in Emma, the film, the movie by Autumn de Wilde, and I was Mrs. Cox.
Oh, would you put the hat on for me, please?
Yes.
No, I don't want to mess your hair, but it looks a lovely hat. Is it a bonnet?
It's a bonnet.
A bonnet? Let me tie you up.
Yeah.
Let me tie your bonnet for you. Ooh, don't you look lovely?
Ooh, yes.
You look like an Easter something.
Well, you know, I do wear this at Easter. I like to make the most of it.
I've not done them all very prettily.
But you know, when I was in Emma, do you remember? I got a part and I didn't have any lines. I was just part of the crowd. And then on one day I turned up and Autumn said to me, would you mind stepping in and doing some lines? Because Miranda Hart was poorly that day and she couldn't make it. So then I played the part and I had a few lines. Sorry about the dog, isn't
it? Lenny, stop it.
Yeah, he's wriggling.
Stop it.
That's it, James. He's not been told off before, Jay. Anyway, so I did the part, I learnt the lines, and then when I did the first take, I went, oh, I did this voice like that, in a very deep voice, because that's how it came out. And so I don't know why I did it like that. And then I got a note to say, just do it again, but not that voice.
So what voice did you do?
So then I just did it more like that. Just a sort of a posh lady's voice.
I like the deep one. It's like Julia.
I know, but I obviously did it because I was nervous and I thought it sounded a bit like Miranda. So I did it like Julia.
But it didn't go down well. But anyway, it came out quite nice in the film.
And your picture of your dad. So lovely. But no picture of your mum. Or is that your mum?
Oh, no, that was me when I was little. Lenny, I think he's trying to get attention, aren't
Lenny,
you?
Stop it. Pathetic.
He does like singing, don't you, Len? Oh, sing to him, Jane.
He did. Lenny, Lenny, don't ever wander away from the alley and me. Lenny, Lenny, marry me, Lenny, and happy forever I'll be.
Just coming from the garden and it's raining, so I thought we could do a bit of pricking out of some antirrhinums, you know, the snapdragon flowers.
Oh, lovely.
So I've grown some of those from seed and I thought we could do that. Because have you done pricking out before?
No, what is that? What is that?
Pricking out is when you, so when you plant your seeds, you then have to prick them out because they're only small and then plant them on into bigger pots.
Oh.
So these I have already pricked.
So they're like shoots. So you're pricking out the shoots.
Yeah.
And then putting them into bigger pots.
Yeah, so we've got some antirrhinums that I've planted on once that could go into a bigger pot. Or I've got some little French marigolds. Mm. But you know what I found out about French marigolds? They're not actually French.
Oh.
No, they're from South America.
And why are they called French?
I don't know. I thought French marigolds, because they look like they've got a little beret on their heads.
Mm.
You know, because they've got the small ones.
Mm.
And then there's the giant ones, and they're called Tagentus erectus or something like that. And I thought that's because they're giant and they stand tall.
Oh.
But it sounds a bit rude, doesn't it?
It does sound rude. Mm. Pricking out an erectus.
Yes. It's very spring-like, isn't it?
Mm,
full of fertility.
Yes, and, yes. With this house move and everything, I feel like I've been much more aware of moon cycles recently. And I know that there's been a new moon, hasn't there? Yes. Can you talk a bit about moons? Because I know you know a lot about moons.
Yeah. So in my garden, I like to plant with the cycles of the moon. It's a good time for planting now because we've had a new moon. And
what does that mean?
Well, when there's a new moon, the moisture in the soil is supposed to sort of stay in the soil. So as the moon waxes to get to a full moon, that's a good time for putting seedlings in and planting seeds because there's a bit more moisture in the soil. And then when the moon starts to wane, that's not so good for planting seedlings because they say that there's the moisture changes in the soil. You know, in times gone by, people did often follow the cycle of the moon to do their planting.
I don't really understand when they say a new moon, but what does it mean, a new moon? Well, I want you to explain it like I'm four.
So I follow... That's a nice book. Yeah, this is a lovely book. It's called The Almanac by Leah Leenders. Mm. I mean, I do know the basic rules, but this goes into a bit more detail. So if we look from where we are now, so we've not quite reached the full moon. So we're in the first quarter, which is leading up to the full moon. So that means that the moon is waxing, it's getting fuller. So it says, sow crops that develop above ground. Don't sow root crops. Plant out seedlings and young plants. So that's what we were doing. Lenny, stop it. On your bed. Go on your bed. On your bed.
Maybe say basket.
On your basket. In your basket. Don't really know.
Don't understand yet. It's quite a tall dog. Rather large.
Sorry about this, Jane.
It's all right. You know what I'm like about dogs.
I know.
My friend thinks I'm a dog fascist.
Well, you just don't like dogs. That's okay. I mean, don't worry too much about it. But, you know, in time, you'll get used to Leonard.
Yes, I will get used to Leonard, as I did your other dogs, who were very placid.
Yeah, they were. And he is, actually. Mm. He's just a bit overexcited today.
Esther, a quick recap on the bees. How's Olive in your garden?
Dead.
Oh, gosh. Really?
Yeah.
Olive was doing so well.
I know, but it was interesting. Do you remember I kept saying to you, oh, they're always coming out in the winter and I can't understand why. Mm. So I noticed in the spring a lot of poo on the front of the hive. Now, this is a bad sign.
A lot of bee poo?
Bee poo. Because, you know, they were obviously, through the winter, coming out to poo. And I didn't realise that's what they were doing. And often they couldn't quite make it back to the hive. And I kept thinking, this isn't right. You know, I've never had them in the garden before. So I thought, well, maybe I've been missing something, you know. But anyway, this poo carried on and it was literally all over the front of the hive. So it's called Nosema. Mm. And it's like a fungal thing, a fungal disease that happens. And they just, you know, they get like, basically, they poo themselves to death.
Oh, no. So normally then, would bees not, you know, leave the hive in the winter to poo?
Well, they can hold it inside for quite some time and then they just go do a crafty one outside as soon as it's a bit of a warm, sunny morning.
Right.
But yeah, they hold it inside. They don't poo in the hive. And they're very clean. So this Nosema, it's a bit like bee Ebola.
Right.
Yeah. And then that's it. So they pooed themselves to death, and I just shut the hive down, and that's the end of them. But good news on the allotment.
Yes.
They're all doing well. There was...
Have you got two hives still at the allotment?
Well, there's actually three now.
Oh.
Because there's been a swarm. Do you remember we got the wood greeners?
Yes.
For Lynn. So she's back beekeeping
again.
Oh, she? So that colony grew very nicely, and it swarmed, and Lynn caught the swarm the other day.
Right.
And then my other hive, I had a mouse living in there.
Hmm.
I had a mouse nesting very nicely. It had eaten away through quite a lot of the wax comb.
Hmm.
But anyway, I cleared it all out and they're back collecting pollen and very nice and busy. Hmm. So what I've been doing, I've been baiting hives. So I've got a lovely new hive that I got from when we went to the Tradex Fair.
Yes.
Beautiful cedar hive on a stand. And so I've baited that with some old wax.
What do you mean by baited?
Well, I've set like a bit of intrigue for the bees to come and sniff around a new home.
Mm.
So they've got some lemongrass oil I put and some wax and a few bits of propolis that I've scraped off the frames and a bit of comb. Yeah, and I've actually had some interest the last sunny day. They were flying around and I put two more bait hives at the back of the studio. And hopefully, fingers crossed, I'll get a swarm.
Yeah, brilliant. I'm just looking at all your lovely bits as well around your house. I love houses that have all these lovely pictures and bits and bobs to look at. It's like a museum, your house. I just love all your bits and bobs.
Well, you know what? It's interesting, Jane, that you've been getting rid of all your bits and bobs and things. And I would actually like to get rid of my bits and bobs. But because this is the only room where I can sort of put all my stuff... Is that it does end up getting crowded, and I wish I didn't really have this many things.
But it doesn't look crowded, Esther. It just looks like you've got an interesting collection of bits and bobs, and it really doesn't look crowded.
I think it's quite interesting, isn't it, about getting rid of stuff? You know, because I've been writing this musical about a hoarder, and it's interesting, I think, how people like really hold on to things, and actually in the end it can sort of hold them back. And I think it's really amazing what you're doing, moving to Brighton and getting rid of so much stuff, because it is hard, isn't it, when you've had a whole history and a family with all these things.
I've not had emotional attachment to hardly anything, actually. I found it really easy to get rid of the stuff.
Did you?
Very easy. And what has been astounding to me, and I wouldn't consider myself to be a hoarder, Esther.
No.
But everybody's a hoarder who collects things that they don't need. I think that should come under the umbrella of hoarding, things that you don't need.
Yeah.
And there's so much stuff in my house that I haven't needed, and I haven't needed for many, many years. And in a way, it's just been so exhausting clearing the stuff. I mean, it's been lovely giving things away, really nice things to give away, but it's been a real lesson to me not to collect anything again. Or if somebody gives me something that I know I'm not going to use, it has to go straight to a charity shop. And when anybody comes to have to move or clear their house, just think about that when you are collecting more and more things, because it is exhausting when you have to come to do it.
Yeah.
And we just don't, when we think about other people in other countries who live simpler lives and just have maybe a cooking pot, a wooden spoon. You know, I mean, if we were to lay all our stuff out, which I think they have done in quite a lot of the hoarding shows on TV, and laid out the stuff that you own, I mean, it will take up a massive proportion of space. Sometimes, like, you know, small football pictures, you know, of all the stuff that you have. And you, we just simply do not need that. And I think the thing is, that somebody, well, two people said to me recently, is you think, I have to think, I have enough. I have enough. I don't need any more things. I only need what I need. I have enough.
Well, you know, hoarding is now considered to be a mental illness. And, you know, people do find it really difficult to let go of things that they feel like an emotional attachment to. And some people connect more with objects than they do with people. I know some people with ASD, spectrum disorders or neurodiversity, sometimes find are a lot more clinging with objects, you know. And I was just thinking about when you went through all your stuff. I know you've been amazing. You know, you've collected all this stuff and now you've had to get rid of it. But was there any objects that you thought you might get rid of, and then when it got to it, did you sort of hold it, and was there anything that gave you a spark? So Marie Kondo says if you hold an object close to your heart and close your eyes, and if there's a light, then keep it, but if there's no light, if it's still dark, then get rid of it.
Well, that is interesting, because I have actually put quite a number of things in boxes to go into storage, and I thought, actually, if I never saw any of this stuff again, I wouldn't be sad. So that's ridiculous that I'm storing it. But it's like some kids' toys, some of their old clothes, some scripts which I really honed down to one box, because I had a massive clear in 2020, and there were suitcases and boxes in my loft full of script. I've practically kept every script. So I recycled most of them and gave some to charity to auction off. But there were like a few that I kept in a small box, which were kind of quite personal to me. And maybe in years to come, if I was to open that box, there might be something that I think, oh, actually, I'm really glad I looked at that. In that particular box, I think I might be sad if I didn't see that box again. But all the other stuff, meaningless. And when it goes in storage, I will forget all about it. And I'll be paying for storage, which is actually doesn't create a spark or a light. So then the question is, why am I storing it?
It's really interesting, because I've ended up, you know, obviously when my dad died, you know, and I know with your mum dying as well, you know, you end up with some things And my mum, I've got that sort of bowl full of objects. I don't know whether I'm going to keep them or not, but with my dad's cuddly toys I've got, and they're really threadbare, and I don't even know what the names are of them are. And I'm just thinking, you know, it's hard, isn't it, with things like that, when you know somebody just loved them so much. And I'm keeping them, but I think when I die, my kids aren't going to want to keep them. And I actually, a few years ago, burnt my childhood toy. I gave it a funeral in the garden. And actually, my neighbours came to the funeral. I did a ceremony, and there was two of the neighbours who I don't know that well started crying and saying, please don't burn him. Mm. But I did actually burn him, and my friend took a photograph of him. I've actually got him in a frame up there.
Right, really?
Yeah, Miffy, can you see him?
So you can, Miffy.
So you can photograph your objects if you wanted to remember them, and then you could get rid of that photograph when you wouldn't, but yeah, there's lots of things you can do.
I know, but I also think, you know, sort of to put stuff in storage, you know, sort of like old stuff that your mum had, perhaps not the threadbare toys, but, you know, sort of things like my, you know, sort of the books that my children read, or I read to my children as, you know, when they were little, I've kept. And you think, well, why are they in storage? They could be being read to somebody else.
Yeah, well, Bonnie could be reading them, couldn't she?
Yeah, exactly. And just I don't know, it just felt... And they are, my children are just not interested in those sort of things. You know, maybe each 6 months you have another clear out of the storage and you gradually get rid of it all. Yeah. So you have nothing. And it is very freeing.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
I mean, my flat in Brighton is very minimalistic, and that feels great not to have anything, and I don't want to fill it with clutter. I don't want to fill it with stuff.
You know, I've got this, look, with my dad's.
Oh, what is it?
It looks like some sort of baton, an old baton from somewhere. So I've got that, but I always liked that as a kid. I used to think it was there when I was a kid. Yeah, it's some sort of baton, like if somebody comes in the night, you could...
You hit them with it,
yeah. Mm. And then I've also got my dad's...
A truncheon.
My dad's old truncheon.
Oh, is it truncheon, is it?
I don't know.
I said truncheon. Truncheon. Gosh, they're really hard, aren't they?
Yeah.
That would really hurt if you hit somebody with that. And then I see you've got some beads up there.
Yeah, they're my mum's beads. You know, she collected a lot of, you know, she went on travels and she collected lots of beads. I don't really like those, but I'm holding on to these.
Mm, they look nice, and they look nice with the headphones, the old and the young.
Oh, yeah. Well, the headphones are Jeannie's ear defenders because she can't stand crunching sounds.
Oh, yeah. Dylan was like that.
Yeah, very good.
Crunchings. Does she still wear them when you're eating all together?
Yeah. She doesn't take them to uni, but she can't stand us eating. I think we all get on her nerves.
No, Dylan can't stand me eating. It's funny, isn't it? And he wore ear defenders at the table for a long time. And now he still says, oh, could you not eat any louder?
I couldn't stand eating when I was little. Well, anyway, we're all sensitive people, aren't we? Oh, and that's a great segue to lunch.
Oh, yes. And we can eat as loud as we want.
Do you have any spoons?
Yeah, well, actually, no, because it's the green juice of May, you have to eat with your hands. You have to eat with the ladle.
With the ladle.
Mm. It is very green, isn't it?
Mmm.
Yeah, I don't help myself.
So good.
It's spring asparagus soup with cannellini beans.
Yeah.
Spring onions, lots of spring onions.
What is it?
I think it's a Nigel Slater recipe.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a Nigel Slater book in there for you.
Mm.
Rather a lovely book.
You know what is so interesting? You know, remember when we did that podcast with Liz Knight?
Yeah.
It's so good because that book I've really been using in the garden, the community garden, and it's so amazing, you know. There's literally so many edible things all around us. Why did we ever get into this mess of actually growing crops? You know... There was a Turkish lady in the garden the other day and she came to pick this mallow. I mean, this mallow is growing everywhere. It's a weed at Sunnyside. Mm. And she...
What does the mallow look like?
It's a bit like a hollyhock type leaves, but they're a bit more shining. They've got a little pink flower on. It grows quite rapidly and easily in your garden. And generally, it's a weed with a lovely little flower. And anyway, she came and she picked all the leaves and she showed me a picture. I think it was called... Gourmet in Turkish. She showed me this picture of this lovely dish. You can buy this mallow in the markets. And here we are, we've got loads of it, and it's all there to eat. And there's the dead nettle, the stinging nettles, there's been all the wild garlic, the three-cornered leeks, the garlic mustard. You know, you can even eat... There was one lad who came to the garden the other week and he ate his hummus with a sedum leaf.
Did he?
He was eating his hummus and he got the sedum. You know the ones that grow the lovely pink flowers?
Yeah, I've got sedums, yeah.
Yeah, and you can actually eat those sedums. You can eat all sedums apart from the ones that have got red leaves or if they have yellow flowers. So that's all you need to remember. And all the leaves are edible, so they make a perfect little scoop for a dip. And I was amazed because I didn't know you could eat sedums.
I didn't. What about dandelions?
Oh, Jane, well, if you want to wet the bed, start eating them right now.
Well, I don't really.
They are a diuretic, so if you eat a lot of them, a bit like parsley. Mm. I mean, we've had a lot of parsley in this soup now. But dandelions are lovely at this time of year. You know, before the flowers come on, all those lovely new little leaves. I mean, in the French markets, there's no end of them.
And do you eat the flower?
No, you don't eat the flower, but you eat the leaves.
The leaves of the dandelion.
Yeah.
Mm. So you just put the leaves like in a salad?
Like a sort of alternative to rocket, really.
Yeah.
Not quite so peppery, but still delicious.
Well, I've got some dandelions in my garden.
You see, we should go on one of these programmes like Hunted, and we would be able to survive in the wild.
That would be really good, wouldn't it, to do that?
It would be.
Maybe we could do a podcast for this podcast of us foraging. And you teaching me what I can eat, and then I'll be dead by the end. Yeah, yeah, eat that, Jane.
Well, I want to
eat
that.
Yeah, that's fine, Jane. That's fine. Yeah, go. Oh, eat that one. Eat that mushroom.
I wouldn't do that, Jane.
I know you wouldn't.
But what's gone into this green witch's brew today? You'll never know.
I'm sure it's very farty, isn't it? Yeah, with all those cannellini beans.
Well, are you ready for a bit of cake now?
Death, please. So, Esther, I've been admiring all your things in your lovely flat. Now, this painting here, which seems quite incongruous with everything else, of this man, this very austere-looking man. Who is it in this gilt frame?
Well, he's called Uncle George, and he's been in my family since, this a little picture there of the young Uncle George. I think that's from 1850.
Oh, he's got a dress on.
Yeah, well, you know...
Was he a cross-dresser?
He might have been, yeah. In 1815, I think all the children wore dresses, maybe. I don't know, but that was his Sunday dress. Mm. It's a bit... I mean, we'll never know, will we? That's the story. Mm. Yeah, so 1815 in the small picture, and then this one, I think, was 1846. I'm not sure. So my dad, we had him when I was little, then my mum and dad split up, so then he was at my dad's. And then when dad died, my stepmom gave me Uncle George. Mm. So I was really scared of him when I was little because his eyes follow you around the room.
Mm.
And I think his head is slightly a different painter to his body. You can see, if you look closely, I think there's a painting on top of a painting. And in those days, sometimes, you know, if you didn't have a lot of money, you might have just got your face painted into an old picture.
All right.
And I think that's what that is. But just before Dad died, we went on Ancestry UK and we found out that he was from Kettering and he had a clog factory, a shoemaker. So we are actually from shoemakers, the Coles. And I think I've always had a funny relationship with shoes. I've always had unusual shoes.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. Sort of special shoes, haven't I?
Yeah. Do you remember when you lost one of your shoes on the rail? You arrived somewhere and you'd lost a shoe.
Yeah.
On the railway line, was it?
That's right. It slipped off and it went between the rails and I had to come all the way home with one shoe on.
You did. That's right.
Mm.
Was that one of your red shoes? You had some very strong red shoes. Was that the red shoe?
It was one of my red shoes. Well remembered, Jane.
Yeah, I know. I do remember
that. Did you like those red shoes?
Yeah, I do. I think you came to the zoo in those red shoes.
Oh, yeah. I would have done. Okay, Jane, we're going to do some pricking out now. So come forward.
Are you going to prick me?
I'm not going to prick you, although I have got a little fork here.
Stop it, Esther. Is that a seed?
So that's a little seed, but we're not going to do anything with that one. So here we are. We've got some little tiny tomato plants. These are beefsteak tomatoes. I think we planted those. We sprinkled some on the top.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That's right.
So they're getting very leggy now, so it's last chance saloon for these, so we better prick them out fast. Mm. Tomatoes, do you know anything about tomatoes, where they grow, where they originate from?
Don't know.
Okay, then. Well,
Spain.
Well, they are very Spanishy, aren't they? But actually, they are from Mexico.
Mexico?
Yeah, South America. Mm. So, what we do when we prick out, it's nice to use a little bit of something like a little tiny fork, so you don't damage the root too much.
Oh, yes.
Now, how do you think, you know, something as delicate as this, what part of the little plant do you think might be best to hold it by? What do you think?
The lower part.
So you think the stem?
I would have thought, you know, to get it like that.
At the roots.
Like that. So you take it in one big lump, a bulk like that.
Okay, then. So
is that wrong?
Yes. Oh. So, how you always hold a seedling is by the leaves.
All right.
Because you can break a leaf off and it'll still grow.
Right.
But if you were to sort of squash the stem like that, once that stem's squashed,
it's
dead. Okay. So what we try and do is always handle the plants by the... So if you want to put that one there.
Yeah. I haven't broken that one. You turf that one down. It's not damaged.
Try again this time now. Try and get one out with the usual fork. Yeah, use your fork. So hold the leaves, the leaf part, and just... dig out a little bit, okay? And now what we're going to do, I'll get a bit of soil in a plot pot. So you don't, for a seedling, you don't want too much, you don't want a very big pot, because then they like to feel a bit snug.
And you put just one of these in there.
Yeah, so you're going to put one in.
One in.
Yeah, so one in the hole.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a bit leggy, this is really, but we'll give it a go.
And then we'll cover it with some more soil.
Yeah, so then we top it up. When you've got a very leggy tomato plant, I'm going to show you one here that I've left a bit too long as well. So what I will do is I'll take off all these lower leaves.
Why is that? Why is it so dry?
They don't like to be overwatered tomatoes.
Oh, do they
not? Don't want to be overdoing it.
That is like desert dry.
Well, I did actually water it the day before yesterday, so maybe deep down it's a bit dry.
I know, but I'm saying it's desert dry, and it's amazing that it still looks really healthy.
Yeah, well,
so you shouldn't overwater them, should you? Because this one looks like it's doing okay in its desert dryness.
You don't want to overwater. So with this, because it's very leggy, you can actually take all these leaves off on the stem and then drop it into a long pot. Can you see this long pot that I've got here? Mm. So that's what I'm going to be doing there. And then all these little shoots... You take these out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because then you get, you don't get so many, you might not get so many tomatoes, but you'll get, like, bigger ones. Mm. So this is cherry tomatoes. We don't mind if they're small, but...
Right. Are we going to do the rest of these, then?
So we'll do another one of these. I'm just going to get you some... Use that really small pot there. So we'll put the... Make a little space, make a little hole so you can... Oh, look, you're doing it wrong already.
Oh,
where
sorry.
Do you hold
oh,
it?
Oh, no, on that's the leaf, it, sorry. Yeah. Oh, bossy boots.
I know, but you don't want to damage the stem. So hold it by the leaves.
Yes, I'm holding it by
that's
the leaves.
And you've got your little
there
fork.
It goes.
That's it.
No, you're nervous, aren't you now?
No.
You're nervous about this precious little...
Oh, you're doing it again.
Oh, sorry.
You're holding it by the stem.
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, I'll get this lot. Get the... Get the compost. What's that? Right.
It's
then.
At the edge, though. It shouldn't
That's
be at the
all
edge.
Right. Don't worry, because actually, in a couple of weeks, it'll right itself, and then I'll drop it into a slightly bigger pot.
Right. Okay.
Like I say, these are on the leggy side, so I'm going to give you one more go at this, just so you can prove that you'll know how to hold it. Okay. So were you doing it wrong?
I'm trying to separate them.
Okay. Well, how do you hold it?
I'm trying to separate it. Look there. They're all a bit too close together.
Well, that's why you have to prick them out with something like a fork, like that, so you can dig down and get the little roots. That's
no.
it. That's it. You're okay. That's it. You're all right. So now get your soil, look.
Yes.
That's it. OK.
Okay, well done, Jane. You're going to be on Gardener's World before you know. Well done, Jane.
We should have had Alan Titchmarsh on this episode.
Oh, he'd be very proud of you. Look how you've done that one.
He wouldn't have shouted at me like you did.
See, you've got that one. Now, that one is not too leggy, so that'll grow nicely. Mm. And all the roots will come out from the...
Let's just do these ones as we've separated. Oh! Look. As we've separated. You're reacting to me like when you saw the squeezy honey.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think you'll be doing that again, will you? Right, so, again, let's get a bit of compost ready for it. People might see these and think, oh, gosh, they are a bit too leggy, but... Look, that's no good. Look, right. You've already damaged it.
Where is it damaged?
There, look, it's bent.
Also, it won't do any good.
No, get rid of that. Choose a better one, then.
Well, what about these two? They're just wasted otherwise.
All right, then, go on, then. That's it. Now I get a bit of soil. So, okay. So you can see this one, obviously something's happened. Maybe it didn't get watered or something.
But you said it didn't matter about the
No,
leaves.
It doesn't. So you can see that will recover, no problem.
Let's just do another one.
All right, then. Would you want to try a marigold this time?
Well, I want to get that one in. You're picking it up. Let me make.
Well, I'm
used
to it.
Practice what you preach, matey.
Right then, let's get some soil to accept it. Right, don't squeeze the leaves to death.
Oh, am I doing that? Well, you made me nervous now.
Oh, you're gripping onto them. Now, this is extra leggy. I might just have to sack that one. But I think what we could do, just to finish, is that we've got this very leggy cherry tomato.
So yes.
Would you like to just break off the leaves with me?
Oh, you break those off as well, do you?
Because we're going to plant it in a deeper pot.
Right.
So if we break off these leaves, then all the roots...
These as well.
No, I think that one will be okay. Mm. So we'll put it in there.
It smells lovely, doesn't it? I love this smell.
Yeah. Mm. And then we'll to rescue this one. Oh, blooming heck. Oh. I mean, I've got some more up at the allotment and they're all sorted, but these ones just a bit left over. Right then, so we'll just soften the pot like that, pull it out. Oh, can you see the roots have all come out the bottom of the pot? Oh, look, how many roots. That's really
that
ready.
That is good, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're going to put that one, squash it down a bit, and then we're going to give it some extra soil. So you hold it. Mm. You can hold it by the leaves or the stem. It's a bit more sturdier, this one.
Are you going to give it some water?
Yeah, oh no.
Well, you haven't done so far.
I might give it some milk because they love a nice glass of milk. I give it a glass of milk and a little drop of whiskey. And
I don't know why you're laughing when it has been dry.
Well,
poor thing.
It's fine. That now we're going to do a little wee on that and it'll grow nicely.
Do you stake these, Esther?
Oh, this definitely needs staking right now, don't you?
Well, yes, it does look like it. Have you got a little bamboo stick?
Yeah, I'll just go and get one.
I got rid of a load of sticks. I could have brought those as well.
Here, we'll use this old
stick.
Old stick.
Will it just rest?
Yeah. And
yeah.
Then
it's resting nicely.
Well, we could get that.
I've got some of that. I could have brought some of that too. Some twine. Oh,
okay.
Well, when you come for your glass jug, you can take all this stuff.
Well, we'll just twine it round.
Because you don't have a card.
All right,
here.
Then. That's nicely twined. Very good.
I like that. That's so nice. And look at our staked cherry tomato plant. Can I have some of those cherry tomatoes when they grow?
Oh, yes, you will.
I think I'm a bit tired now after all that planting. It's been very exhausting, especially being told off by you that I wasn't doing it properly. Anyway, your garden, I'm just looking at your garden, which looks so beautiful, and all those alliums just about to come out. So beautiful. But I think it's time for a rest now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you have been very busy, and I'm really thinking about you in the move. And good luck, Jane. Thanks for coming and meeting Lenny the dog and having a great time at the garden. Yes. And I'm sure we'll be on the Alan Titch Marsh show before you know it.
Yes, and it has been lovely to meet Lenny, your new dog. What a delightful dog.
Oh, here he is now. Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye. And I'll call you up whenever I'm feeling down. Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton, Andy Goddard, and John Wakefield. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy May Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the hive. Queen Bees is a Hat Trick podcast. Just to have you around.